This is Scenic Roots. I'm Ray Bassett. Thanks for joining us. HCS EdConnect bridges the digital divide in online learning here in Chattanooga and Hamilton County. The first of its kind initiative between Hamilton County Schools and EPB, along with community partners such as the Enterprise Center and Tech Goes Home, brings no-cost, high-speed internet to any household with a child eligible for free or reduced-cost school lunch. HCS EdConnect began last school year during the pandemic, and this school year it continues to enroll new students. Rachel Emond is with Hamilton County Schools, and Scotty Summerlin is with EPB. Rachel, Scotty, thanks for joining us.
Thanks, Ray. It's great to be here.
Thanks, Ray.
Remind folks what HCS EdConnect is and what it does.
HCS EdConnect is our program that we run for free Wi-Fi for any eligible student within Hamilton County Schools. So eligibility means students who are receiving free and reduced lunch or who are receiving SNAP benefits from the state of Tennessee. They have access to Wi-Fi from EPB. And this is fast 300 megabits per second Wi-Fi, extremely fast Wi-Fi at your home or a hotspot if you aren't eligible.
And this is home internet service at no charge for families in need.
Absolutely.
You know, Ray, we're so excited because Chattanooga has become a national model when it comes to closing the digital divide for our students. We have taken the most comprehensive approach in the United States by having internet service at no charge to students in need, at least the speed that Rachel was talking about, and also our Wi-Fi router and installing educational devices and continuing technical support, all at no charge to these families.
And then for families that know that they qualify, how do they get started?
It's really easy. I want to definitely drive that point home to any families who might be listening or folks might be helping families get enrolled. It is so easy to sign up for this program. All you have to do is call your child's school. Once you call your kid's school, they'll be able to opt you into the program. We're also sending out opt-in opportunities via email and text. So if you have an updated email and cell phone number with the school district already, then you'll probably receive that in your inbox. But if you don't, or even if you do and you just want a little extra help, just call your child's school and they'll be able to enroll you in the program. And then after that, all you have to do is call EPB. You can find their number online or it's 423-648-1372. Once you call, you just press zero. You'll get to talk to a call center representative and they'll get you set up just like any other customer.
What do families already need to have when they reach out to you and say that they are interested in signing up with HCS EdConnect?
EPB will provide a router. And in terms of information, when they're getting in touch with EPB, all they need to know is their child's school and grade level. In addition to their child's name, it's definitely helpful to also have their student number so that they can get signed up, but not required. Equipment-wise, EPB will get them set up with absolutely everything. They'll get the router installed for them. It's fiber optic Wi-Fi, so they'll get that put in for them as well. But they don't need to have any equipment already. They don't need to have a computer to have access to this. All of our students, grades 3 through 12 at Hamilton County Schools are one-to-one. So they receive a Chromebook or another device through their child's school. So they don't need to have an at-home device to be able to sign up for EdConnect. Absolutely not.
Ray, what's really exciting is for the students who qualify for this program, as long as they maintain eligibility, these students and their families are going to be connected year-round to this internet service at no charge, including the summers, for up to 10 years, as long as they have a child in Hamilton County Schools. And that is unprecedented. Nobody else in the country is doing that.
What's the participation rate been going into this school year? What are some ways that you folks have been trying to improve the experience even more for children and families?
So we've got over 14,000 students who have already enrolled in the program, which together with their household members, they represent more than 25,000 people who have now have internet access through HCS EdConnect. One thing to note, I mean, many of those families didn't previously have Wi-Fi, so this is one of their first experiences with having a home internet connection. And in terms of making it better for families, we're doing a pretty good job at connecting with families who have been set up to get feedback from them, find out if it was easy to enroll enroll in the process and easy to get in touch with EPB. And we're constantly working with all of our partners who are involved in the project to make sure that it is easy for families to get set up with it. And EPB is a wonderful partner for families. They treat EdConnect customers just like any other customer because they truly are. They get the exact same type of account. It just has $0 attached to it from the family side. So they provide excellent customer service to them. We've had several families who get in touch with EPB when they're having a connection issue or a Wi-Fi speed issue, and EPB is able to take care of them really quickly, which is wonderful.
And if people want more information about HCS EdConnect, if they want to participate, where can they go online? Where can they call?
Families who have questions or partners who have questions, they can just go to edconnect.org. Or like I said, of course, if you don't already have access, you're welcome to call your child's school and they can answer questions for you as well. But edconnect.org is the place to go for additional information.
The reason this is possible is because people in Chattanooga decided that we need our students to be connected to the internet so we can close the digital divide. And it's made possible by a bunch of partners, and we couldn't do it without them. It's Hamilton County, Hamilton County Schools, the City of Chattanooga, EPB, Blue Cross Blue Shield of Tennessee, the Benwood Foundation, the Community Foundation, the Footprint Foundation, the McClellan Foundation, the Lyndhurst Foundation, and CARES funding from the state of Tennessee. And it's just amazing that all these folks got together when the COVID-19 pandemic began to try to figure out what can we do to make sure all of our students in Hamilton County Schools can be connected to their schools and make sure that this is available to students who are in need. So just so thankful for our community partners. Once again, Chattanooga has come together. It's the Chattanooga way, and we really can get things done. And we have become a national model, so much national media attention, a number of awards, and we would love to be able to teach other communities how to do this so they can replicate this in their areas.
All right, Scotty, Rachel, thanks so much.
Thanks, Ray.
Thank you, Ray.
John and Mary Margaret is a recently released novel about an interracial couple who meets at Ole Miss during the tumult of the 1960s. The author, Susan Cushman, will be the next speaker in the Southbound Lecture Series from Southern Lit Alliance here in Chattanooga. Susan, a native of Jackson, Mississippi, who lives in Memphis, will appear via Zoom on Wednesday, starting at 6 p.m. I spoke with her and Linda Levan, Executive Director of Southern Lit Alliance. Linda, Susan, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you so much.
Linda, the latest Southbound, tell us a bit more about it.
We do these great author visits in our Southbound series, and this one is going to be Susan Cushman, which you will hear more about. But this is an ongoing series. We were hoping to do them in person, but with the circumstances, we were doing these virtual for a little while longer and having that option.
And Susan, you are a writer. You are from Mississippi. You now live in Memphis, and Memphis has been your home for quite some time.
Right, since 1988. Almost half of my life, but not quite, because I was born in Jackson in 1951. I turned 70 in March, and I'm having a wonderful late life career as a writer, doing things I put off for the many years that I was a stay-at-home mom, raising three kids, and I have four granddaughters in Arizona and Colorado. They left Tennessee. I don't know why. No. Anyway, and so I started writing, and I have a bunch of published essays in various journals and anthologies. But in the last 5 years, I've published seven books, the most recent of which is John and Mary Margaret, my novel.
This is set in your native Mississippi at Ole Miss,
right.
1960s, the civil rights era, as we call it.
So John is a black boy from Memphis, and Mary Margaret is a white girl from Jackson, Mississippi, and they have a literature class together their freshman year at Ole Miss in 1966. And first, Mary Margaret's mainly impressed with how smart John is. He's pre-law. He wants to be a lawyer and eventually a judge and really help with civil rights issues back in Memphis, where he's from. And his father was a football coach. His older brother went to college on a football scholarship, and that's what John was expected to do. But he had different plans, and he wanted to go to Ole Miss, even though this was 66. So keep in mind, only 3 years earlier, in 1963, was when James Meredith was the first black person enrolled at Ole Miss. So this is still very groundbreaking, what John is doing. Mary Margaret, on the other hand, was very much like my life in the white privilege bubble. I'm making little quotation marks with my fingers for your radio audience to know. You know, she grew up country club set. Her parents were ultra conservative. But as a young girl, she had a happen chance meeting with Eudora Welty, the famous Mississippi author who lived a few blocks from her home in the Bellhaven neighborhood, a historic area in Jackson. I also lived in that neighborhood in the 70s as a newlywed. And Ms. Welty's home is right across the street from Bellhaven College, where I went to school after I was at Ole Miss. And she was famous for being called the Popsicle Lady because all the children in the neighborhood would knock on her door in those really hot, humid summer days, and she would give out popsicles. And I never did that. And Mary Margaret doesn't do that, but she does have a wonderful visit with her after helping her with her groceries at the neighborhood Jitney Jungle. And they discuss, Mary Margaret thought they were just going to talk about writing and fiction and short stories. And Miss Welty wants to talk about politics and race issues. And it's the beginning of an awakening for Mary Margaret that continues for decades. And of course, they're trying to date. Does not work. John is beat up outside her sorority house, the Tri-Delta house, which was my sorority house. And it's obvious it's not going to work. So they part ways. Their separate lives are documented in the book during 50 years of civil rights history in Mississippi and Memphis. But they meet again. And I don't want to give away too many spoilers about how they meet again, but they do meet again, I think, 35 years later. And I will say that both of their spouses have Alzheimer's. And that's a connective tissue to this because my mother had Alzheimer's. And my first book was a memoir, Tangles and Plaques, A Mother and Daughter Face Alzheimer's.
All of this centers on not only history, but also memory.
Right. And so for me, in writing Mary Margaret's story, I did not have to do research because there's so much of my story there. In writing John's story, I not only needed memory, I needed a lot of help, a lot of research. Fortunately, I have two good friends who are Black authors, Jeffrey Blunt and Ralph Eubanks, and they both read early drafts of the book and gave me a whole lot of feedback, which was very helpful. And they both have fabulous books out as well. Because for a white woman writing about a Black male protagonist, that was kind of a risk. Jeffrey shared this with me early on, which really gave me courage. There was an article in the Wall Street Journal in January by the Scottish author James Campbell, who wrote Talking at the Gates, A Life of James Baldwin. This article also quoted James Baldwin and Toni Morrison, but it's about cultural appropriation. And he says, writers on each side of the color line have more than just the right to cross the divide and report back. It is their duty. Imaginative life depends on cultural exchange. Literature depends on the imagination. To put it another way, culture is cultural appropriation. Any artist worth the name should be willing to take a punch for it. That was really helpful to me because I wasn't sure, you know, how many punches I was going to get for doing this. You know, my native Jacksonian Catherine Stockett, 10 years earlier, who wrote The Help, which became a bestseller in a movie, she got some pushback for it. But I thought she did an excellent job of showing how things really were. And that's what I wanted to do. You know, as I was having an awakening, I wanted to share that. I wanted to have a voice.
And how do you think your awakening, as you describe it, informed the writing of this book? This sounds like something that, even though you might have had the threads of this story for years and years and years, this sounds like something that only the type of awakening that you describe could bring it to the surface.
Absolutely. Kind of happened in two layers. The first layer was in 2019 when I published a collection of short stories called Friends of the Library. One of those 10 stories was about John and Mary Margaret. It was their story. And several of my readers said, we want to know more. Please turn this into a novel. As I was considering doing that in 2020, in the middle of two epic things going on, the COVID pandemic and the social injustice protests that were going on. So here I am in Memphis. I'm 70 years old. There's no vaccine in the spring of 2020. There were some really excellent nonviolent protests going on in Memphis. Had I been younger and there not been COVID, I would have been out on the streets joining the protest. And I was frustrated because I couldn't. And I was talking to my husband about it. And he's saying, well, you're a writer. That's your voice. write this? And I'm like, well, how am I going to write this? And then people started saying to turn the short story into a novel. So these two things converged in the spring of 2020. And in about 3 or 4 months, I wrote this novel and told John and Mary Margaret's story. And another key part to that is I have 2 adopted children from South Korea, and my daughter is married to a Black man, and I have 4 mixed race granddaughters to whom I dedicated the book. So their issues are very close to my heart in a personal way, as well as in a universal way.
For some authors, focusing on these topics, as you are in this novel, they have a balancing act between the story and the message that they might want to impart with the reader. What I am hearing from you here is the story is the message and the message is the story.
Excellent, Ray. You couldn't have said it better, because this is a fiction. This is a love story. This is not an angry book. It's not a nonfiction historical book. There are plenty of those out there to read about. In fact, I have references in the back of the book for further reading. But I wanted to use art. I wanted to use fiction for my voice in this story. I have quotes at the beginning of a lot of the chapters. And this one from Eudora Welty really tells a lot about why I wanted to do this. And she says, "Great fiction shows us not how to conduct our behavior, but how to feel. Eventually, it may show us how to face our feelings and face our actions and to have new inklings about what they mean. A good novel of any year can initiate us into our own new experience." So that was part of what I hoped for in writing and publishing the novel. And I was so excited that Kohler Books, who had published Friends of the Library, saw the timeliness of it and was able to turn it around pretty quickly. I think I got it to them the summer of 2020, and it came out the summer of 2021, which is a quick turnaround.
That's warp speed in the literary world.
Exactly.
And Linda, that quote that Susan just read from Eudora Welty, if anything can serve as a compass for what you and Southern Lit Alliance do with the Southbound Lecture Series, that's it.
Absolutely. I mean, our mission is to encourage passionate readers and writers. And one of the reasons we do this is because of the benefits of reading literature are just so many. One of the things research shows is that people who read literature are more empathetic because they are seeing things through a character's eyes, as well as have better critical thinking skills because you are analyzing, you're thinking about the character, you're predicting. And that's so much of what we really want people to understand and experience.
And that applies to stories that we've heard before in some way, but coming around again, seeing them than we might have 5, 10, 20, let alone 50 years ago.
Absolutely. I think if you read a book when you're 20 and then you turn around and read it when you're 50, you get completely different things out of it because your life experience has changed. They're great at any time and speak to you differently. And that's what we hope to do. You know, we do a lot of literature festivals and author visits, writing contests, writing workshops to help people just really get into the words and the benefit of either writing them or reading them.
And for people who want more information about this particular event and how they can connect online, where can they go?
This event with Susan is September 1st at 6 p.m. It will be on Zoom. So all they have to do is go to our website, southernlitalliance.org, and go to the link. When they register, then they will immediately receive an email back with the invite, the Zoom invite for them to participate. It is free, though we would encourage donations to help our efforts.
All right. Linda, Susan, thanks so much.
Thanks so much for your time.
Thanks for having us.
Also, Susan Cushman's website is susancushman.com. You're listening to Scenic Roots. More in a moment.
This is Scenic Roots from the Isis Music Hall in Asheville. This afternoon, the second half of the show featuring the singer, songwriter, musician and minister, playwright and actress, Amy Steinberg.
How am I doing on time? Am I okay to just keep going? Because I got more songs. Okay. I'm gonna lay my burden down now. I'm gonna gonna leave it on the ground. Let's lay it down, y'all. This is freedom I am feeling. Well, it can't be found when I'm looking down. No, 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 no. I'm gonna climb up to the mountain, spread my wings, and fly, 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 fly. All these blessings I am counting. Well, I got more than all the stars in the sky. I got more than all the stars in the sky. I got more than all the stars in the sky. I feel light as a feather, floating on an angel's wing. I won't worry about the weather, 'cause I am one with everything. I am one with everything. I'm one with everything. I am 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 one with everything. And there's a power in a seed, reminding itself how to become a tree. There's a power in a cell, capable of making the you or a me. There's a power in a word, vibrating at a frequency. And there's a power inside, that power inside, that power is love, 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 love. That's your part. Love, 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 love. See, we are unstoppable, just like the wind. Anything is possible from God within. The root is good in each of us here, and the nature of love is in everyone everywhere. What spirit originates, spirit orchestrates, willingness, gratitude, create your faith. One power, one people under one sun. Peace, love, joy, and freedom. I am one with everything. This peace that penetrates me moves quicker than a laser beam. Oh, the devil cannot faze me, 'cause I am one with everything. I am one with everything. I am one with, sing it with us now. I said, I am one with everything. 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 Oh, thank you so much for being here tonight. I have been looking forward to this so, so much. And I honestly, like, I don't know what's going on. We don't know what's going on, if things are going to be changing again, if we're, so this could very well be, I don't want to speak it, but, you know, the last show for a while. And I just, I know, I hope not, I hope not, I hope not, but God, are you listening? Could you get this under control here? But so I really, it was like, it was so funny. I was telling Steph, I was like, I'm already sad the show's over. You know what I mean? Before, I couldn't even like stay in the day with it because I was so excited just to be playing and to be out and to be among people. And so I'm just so, so, so grateful that you came tonight. And this is a newer song. Thank you so much. There was one person that thought. I want to give a shout out to my mom because I think she's watching. So hi, mom, if you are watching. She might be moving up here, which is terrifying and exciting. And they say that, you know, fear and excitement feel a lot alike. So no, we are so close. So on Wednesdays, it's at 8 o'clock, and on Facebook Live, every Wednesday I'm on, but then every other Wednesday, Steffi joins me with some harmonies, so definitely check that out. And on House of Love and Light is an online ministry, so if you need some love and light in your life, and you don't have a church that you're going to in person, or a spiritual center, it's a church run by me. So, you know what I mean? It's not a church. It's just, I like the word church. It's weird because I'm Jewish, but I just like the word church. Church, 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 church. It's just, it's chewy. It's like, so it's kind of a church, but it's like a church with an E. Church. Church. some people who come are here tonight. So thank you. Thank you for those who do come. And if anybody's watching, there's people from all around the world that come, about 30 to 50 people every week. And it's really special. Now, you might be a knower, and good for you. You're a grower, not a shower, not a knower. Okay. Note that. I'm a knower. I'm not a knower, but I'll find something. But I'm a shower. Oh, I don't know. Okay. Anyway. Carving out a space to make room for what is coming. It's hard to dig down to the core without numbing. Walking the woods, I am choosing to follow the path to an emptiness, a heaven of hollow, a heaven of hollow. No thing, no tricks, no answer, no fix. I'm free, I am empty. No call, no claim, no power, no name. I'm free, I'm empty. No thing, no tricks, no answer, no fix. I'm free, I'm empty. No call, no claim, no power, no name. I'm free, I'm empty. So hollow me out, expose all my doubt. No more hiding from the open sky. Arms wide, I cry to the night. I'm ready. Instrument waiting for the melody, holding the openness, knowing it's gonna be beautiful, no matter joy or filled with sorrow. For all that is, all is right now in the heaven of hollow, the heaven of hollow. No thing, no tricks, no answer, no fix. I'm free. I'm no call, no claim, no power, no name. I'm free, I'm empty. No thing, no tricks, no answer, no fix. I'm free, I'm empty. No call, no claim, no power, no name. Free, I'm empty. So hollow me out, expose all my doubt. No more hiding from the open sky. Arms wide, I cry to the night. Hollow me out, no need to know how. So sweetly I see the mystery holding me, the history holding me, the majesty holding me, divinity holding me. Hollow me out, hollow me out, hollow me out, hollow me out, hollow me out. Oh, thank you so much. I love that. I can't wait to record it. I think it's going to be a great track. Thank you so much, Rochelle. Give it up for Rochelle right now. You know, hope is a controversial... Ooh, yeah. Opa! Elton, you have a piece of cake waiting. So hope is a controversial subject in the spiritual community. Why? Because hope is like saying, like, everything's up. I need to have hope. But in order for things to shift, we have to look at what's good, right? And it's a controversial thing. But I know for me, like, I need hope. I need it. I want it in my life when things are dark, when things are... I mean, we've got climate change, we've got COVID, we've got so much stuff going on. Black Lives Matter, can I just say it? Because I have a microphone, so I don't know. I mean, we've just got crazy times, and I have hope. I have hope. Do you have hope? Who has hope? Can I borrow some hope? Let's have hope. Let's have hope. Have hope. Have hope, little one. Have hope. I feel like there's like this little leprechaun inside me that wants to come out. Have hope. I want you to.
What'd you say? Yeah, Jewish leprechaun. That's a funny, that could be a funny thing. A Jewish leprechaun lesbian, I don't know.
Down in the depths in the dark of my heart, all alone in the night with no sun in sight. In a dream, what does anything mean? I can't get a grip on reality. Then I hear a voice telling me I have a choice. It says, hang on, it ain't gonna be long. Stay strong, walk through, walk on. Be still, hand over your will. Give up control, let it be, let it go. I say hope, you say hope, hope. Hope, hope, hope. I say hope. Hope, hope, hope. I'm holding on to something that I just can't see. Try to find me some spirituality. Give me a sign, I'm gonna be alright. Help me make it through this desperate night. Then I hear a voice telling me I have a choice. It says, let it be, let it go. Hope, stand tall, cause we all fall. You're gonna make it in the end, my friend. I say hope, 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 hope. I say hope, 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 hope. I said hang on, it ain't gonna be long. Stay strong, walk through, walk on. Be still, hand over your will. Give up control, let it be, let it go. Hope, stand tall, cause we all fall. You're gonna make it in the end, my friend. I said hope, gonna make it in the end. I said hope, gonna make it in the end. I said hope, I said I'll make it in the end. I said hope, gonna make it in the end, my friends.
So this is my fake last song. I have two more after this, so please applaud loud enough that I could do encores, because it was so funny. I was like, okay, these will be encores. And I was like, but Steffi was laughing at me like, ha ha, that's so funny. And I'm like, yeah. So yeah. You know, this song, I wrote this song about the phoenix, you know what I mean? The phoenix rising from the ashes. It's called Burning Into the High. But now with the whole world on fire, it's kind of like, you know, it's one of those songs that it has, yeah, it might have a whole different meaning now. But another song about introspection. This is the first song on my CD, Broken Open. And I have CDs back there. Definitely come say hi. Check out my art. I also have some rings if you need some new powerful jewelry. To beat up, I'm hocking wares, I'm doing what I can, I'm trying to get by, okay, so just do what you can. You know, I like to tell you that I sell jewelry because jewelry. Listen, there's a root. You know why? Do you know why? Do you know why Jews sell jewelry? Because Jews, everybody hates Jews, even Jews. And I mean, like, it's like archaic, like it's forever. Like, that's our lot in life. It's just everybody, they all want us to be eradicated, but we won't go away. We're like, we're just like forever. But so we're like this. So we're like, you won't hire us? I have this rock. I have this nice rock. I'll polish it up for you. Would you like to, I could put it on a little string and you could wear it? That's how we survived, okay? We also became your bankers. Because you're dumb. Like, I'll take care of your money. Give it to me. I'll put it away. You won't give me a job, but I'll take care of your money. This is from the history of Jews, you guys. This is real stuff. Huh?
under the surface, beneath the wake, in the cold black quiet of my deepest place. There's a pressure moving, and the winds above the world is the sands of time, turning me into a pearl. I'm not afraid to face the fire, to walk to the top of the highest peak. And when my feet become weak and tired, I will flex my faith, let go and leap. The hardest healing feels its feeling, breaking the ceiling and moving into the sky. And the greatest glory stops telling the same story, rises from the fury, burning into the high. Oh, oh, oh. Is wild that we wish to take, but no matter how hard that we try to hide, whatever's hiding shows up on the outside. I'm not afraid to face the fire, to walk to the top of the highest peak. And when my feet become weak and tired, I will flex my faith, let go and leave. The hardest healing feels its feeling, thank you, breaking the ceiling and moving into the same story, rises from the fury, burning into the high. Oh, 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 oh. That's right. Oh, 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 oh. Then we go, whoa. One more. Thank you so much. Thank you especially to this table. I don't know why. I just want to thank you because you really didn't have no idea what you were getting into. I always feel like that for people who just like take a risk and come to a show. Like, and that's what I love about Isis is that Scott has such great quality acts that if you come here on any night, you're going to see something great. I'm kind of tooting my own horn there, but like I'm giving you a compliment and myself. And yeah, so let's make love. Let's create love. Come on. Let's produce pure truth with locked eyes and soul sighs from deep, deep within the sleep. Let's wake and make love all night, all morning, all day. We'll keep it going and going and going and hey. Soon, if we continue to love the love we make, we'll start showing and our spirits will grow, glowing lighter and brighter and bold. And we can hold it out like a long, perfect... We could hold that love out like a long, perfect note. You see, Asheville, our love song will have the time signature of eternity. If you and me, the two of us, can trust each other enough to bust open the heavenly gates right here, if we can just love away the fear, maybe, just maybe, the disdain will disappear in our heads and our hearts will cleave. I said, let's make love, let's create love. I say, come on, you say, come on. Come on, oh, come on, oh, come on, oh, come on. Let's prolong this blissful inner space with a speed so graceful that we face the stars and then we pass them. Let's have ourselves a spiritual release bond or gas. Oh.
wear. Our bodies are not the tools we use, but we heat our sweet belief by just staring at the moon. Staring up at that big, fat, beautiful moon. I want to make love with you and you and you and your girlfriend too. Is it because I'm a hoe? Yep. But it's also because hate is undeniable. It's so reliable. If I say, I hate you, how easily you take that to be true. But if I say, I love you, you don't think, you think I'm deceiving and being fake. And this is the grandmother-father mistake. Take physics. It's simple to fall flat. That is why we sink into negativity and complacency so easily. So instead, let's get out of our heads. Oh, I wish I could go up. Moonbeams and rainbows make the brain slow to a meditative state where we relate with rays of radiance that reach way beyond today and way beyond anything I could ever say. See, I'm trying to convey a thought you can feel if you hear it. I'm using these words to spark your spirit. And I know they're just letters pressed together. So better, I just close my eyes, open my arms up like this, and send you all an extrasensory perceptive kiss. Did you get it? Do you get it? I said, let's make love. Let's create love. Come on. Thank you. I have one more offering for you. Just one more offering. One more offering. And this last song is probably my favorite song to sing, and I don't think I've ever closed a show with it, so I'm really excited to close a show with this song. It's my favorite song to sing, and this song, man, this is the song that we need right now. We've got to believe, we've got to believe that there's still time to turn this around, whether it's we're talking about climate change, we're talking about racial tensions, if we're talking about financial stuff, if we're talking about COVID, if we're talking about politics, if we're talking, we've got to. I mean, because you know what? Like, humans are so cool. We are so cool. Like, and the fact that you were born is such a miracle, that the zygote reached the egg and that it communicated enough to get down and dirty and create a baby. We are free to turn it around. Thank you so much for coming tonight. I love you so much. I can't see you up there, but I know you're there. And I can't see you out there in live stream world. I know you're there.
I've been in bondage. I've been held back. I've been imprisoned by thoughts of fear and lack. And I have had anger.
That's right.
And I've had guilt. These are the bricks on which my life's been built. But I'm free to turn it around. Yes, I'm free to turn it around. We are all free to turn it around. Free to look up instead of looking down.
But see, I've been attracted to negative thought. Damn it. I get so distracted. I get so distraught. I know that I know I am responsible. Fuck. For my own life. I gotta lift my chin up and look. Not the good kind. I've been held back. I've been in prison of thoughts, in prison of my own thoughts, of fear and lack. I've had anger, I've been so mad, and I've had guilt. I've done some things. But these are no longer the bricks. I got love, I got joy. These are no longer the bricks. I got you coming to my shows. These are no longer the bricks. Oh, where's my love? He's been. Cause I've turned it, I've turned. Thank you so much. Oh, so sweet. Thank you so much. Wow, you are so beautiful. You are so beautiful. Thank you so much for coming. Come see me at my little
from the ISIS Music Hall in Asheville. That was Amy Steinberg. The unedited, unexpurgated show with video is on the ISIS Theatre Facebook page. This is Scenic Roots on listener-supported public radio in Chattanooga.
I'm Ray Bassett. Thanks for listening to Scenic Roots. We come to you from WUTC at the University of Tennessee at Chattanooga. Email us at scenicroots423@gmail.com. Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at scenicroots423. Listen to us online anytime at WUTC.org and the WUTC app. For Richard Winham and the rest of our team, join us again next time for Scenic Roots.